Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today. And we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue and today conclude our series of studies on the topic, The Roman Road to Salvation. We're looking at the first few chapters of the book of Romans and how Paul, in those chapters, leads us methodically through the course to salvation. We call it the Roman Road to Salvation because it's there in those first few chapters of Paul's epistle to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 is our starting point, our text for this series of studies. So you might want to take a moment now, turn to the third chapter of the book of Romans. And as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. At the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us with any questions or comments that you might have about the program. Also, if you would like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs, we have those available for you also. This will be the last week that we offer those for this current series of studies. And we have a web address, a toll-free phone number, and also, of course, a mailing address. You can contact us in any one of those ways to receive those materials, to ask a question, to make a comment about the program. But right now, chapter 3 of the book of Romans, verse number 23. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That sort of encapsulates the first few chapters of the book of Romans, the problem that Paul sets forth. But he's also going to set forth a solution to that problem. As we've been telling you, and this is the verse that we actually are going to focus on today, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 is where we want to get to with this series of studies. We've talked about the Roman road to salvation. We've talked about the fact that in the first part of the book of Romans, actually all the way through the book of Romans, but this current series of studies, we're just focusing on the first few chapters. Paul goes through a logical progression of arguments and statements to demonstrate to us the problem of man, demonstrate the solution to that problem that God offers, and then give to us the result of that solution. And the final result of the solution that God has to our problem is in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The final solution, where the Roman road leads you, is peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the need of all men. That's the need of all, is to have peace with God. You'll often hear people say when someone has died, well, I wonder if they made their peace with God, or I wonder if they were at peace with their Maker. Well, that's not really a bad way to put it, because that's exactly the way Paul puts it here in Romans chapter 5, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. We are at peace with that one that created us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as I said, today we will be talking specifically about that verse. That's been our goal all through this series of studies, to get to that verse. But we want to just take a moment, as we do each week, and just review where we've been the past few weeks and how we got to this point that we are now. On this Roman road, the Roman road to salvation. And we started off on the Roman road to salvation with defining man's problem. Man's problem is defined in the first conclusion that Paul draws, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. He says that the problem that man has is that we are inexcusable. There is no excuse for our sin. And I'm going to write here beside this the word spirit. And if you've been tuning in each week to the program, you know what the significance of that word is. The significance is that mankind has a problem of inexcusability. What gives us that problem is the fact that mankind is a unique creation. Mankind is created body, soul, and spirit. And the fact that we have a spirit allows us to know God. It allows us to know who He is, allows us to know about Him. It allows us to understand that there is a Creator, for example. It allows us to look at creation and know there must be a Creator that put us there. But that spirit also, when we can know God, know that there is a God, know that there is a Creator, It makes us accountable to that creator, accountable to that God. A dog or a cat or a deer or an elephant or whatever can't be held accountable for knowing God because they can't know God. They don't have the capacity because they don't have a spirit in them to know God and to understand Him. So therefore, they are not accountable. They don't have eternal existence. They have no accountability before God. Their life is simply responding to a series of stimuli in the world around them. We, on the other hand, can think outside of ourselves and outside of just the stimuli that are around us in this world. We can conceive things that our senses cannot see. We can conceive a God that we can't see, that created a universe that we can see. And that spirit makes us accountable to God. And in that accountability, God says, you're inexcusable. Romans chapter 1, he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You see, that same conscience, that same spirit that allows us to know God allowed us too to reject God. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And that makes us inexcusable. Number two, God offers us a proof of our nature, of the fact that we've turned away from him. He offers us a proof that we are, in fact, sinners. And the proof that he offers is the broken law. The second conclusion in chapter 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We cannot be declared righteous, and that's what the word justified means, to be declared righteous. We cannot be declared righteous by doing the works of the law, because we don't do the works of the law. Verse 19 of that same chapter, he says, what things soever the law saith, it saith them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The world stands before God guilty. The world stands before God as sinners. The world stands before God unable to be just, to be righteous in his sight. He's declared us all to be sinners. We are inexcusable for having turned away from God. There's no excuse for turning away from God. When we knew God, we glorified him not as God, we turned away from him, and there is no excuse for that. Not only did we turn away from him, but when we turned away from him, we turned to sin. And the proof of that is the broken law and the fact that we cannot keep God's righteous and holy law. Finally, last week, we looked at the solution. There is a propitiation for sin. There is a satisfying sacrifice. There is, through the faith of Christ, an opportunity for us to have righteousness. Paul tells us in verse 28 of Romans chapter 3, his third conclusion, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Your declaration of being righteous, your justification comes not by the deeds of the law. The fact that you can't do the deeds of the law proves that you're a sinner. But your justification, your declaration of righteousness comes by faith. How can it come by faith? Well, it comes by faith because your faith is trusting in what someone else did. You know, there's a term that's used today that's not a very good term, not a very scriptural term, and that term is people of faith. And people of faith is a term that just refers to anybody that believes anything, basically. It doesn't matter who or what you worship or who or what you believe is God. It's just a broad brush term, people of faith. But you see, the scripture, when the scripture talks about people of faith, it's talking about one faith. Faith in one person, Jesus Christ. And faith in one act, the act that he accomplished at Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection as payment for your sin. That's the faith that satisfies God's justice. No other faith will satisfy his justice. You can believe something as strongly as you want to believe it, but if you don't believe in the right object, it's irrelevant. We conclude that a man is justified by faith. Faith in what? Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. It's faith, it's trust in the redemptive work of Christ at Calvary, in His blood shed at Calvary. That is what satisfies God's justice for sin. It is the death of Christ that satisfies God's justice for sin. It is your faith in that death, in that sacrifice, in that redemption, in that propitiation that allows you to have the gift of eternal life. You see, if there is no excuse for turning away from God, and if God has proved absolutely that you are a sinner and you cannot please Him, then the only thing left is faith. Your own efforts, your own works won't cut it, won't get you eternal life. The only thing left is faith, and Paul's third conclusion is a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, what does that justification get you? What is the advantage of being justified by faith? Well, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once you have that justification by faith, you have peace with God. And that's the fourth conclusion that Paul draws. The fourth, therefore, we have peace with God by faith. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation brings us the gift of eternal life. But our salvation also brings us a peace with God because it gives us a position in Christ. It gives us a position in Him. It allows us to be one with Him. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians, chapter 4. And let's just talk for the few minutes that we have remaining in the program today about the position that our salvation gives us. What it means to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Galatians, chapter 4, and verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. If we are a son, then we are an heir of God through Christ. Well, you see, if we are an heir of God through Christ, we are an heir of God because we are in Christ. We are an heir of God because we've become one with Christ. Then God will always be at peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to the book of Ephesians for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Where is our acceptance? It's in Christ. You notice, if you go down through the first chapter of Ephesians, and we'll not take time to go through it all today, but time and time again, Paul talks about the fact that we're in Christ. Verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, He hath chosen us
in him before the foundation of the world. Verse 6, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Verse 11, in whom, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. In Christ. Verse 13, in whom also you trusted. In Christ you trusted. Everything comes because you're in Christ. That moment that you believe, that moment that you, that message that we talked about last week, that when Christ died on the cross, he paid for your sin. He became the satisfaction for your sin. The wages of sin is death. The wage had to be paid. Jesus Christ was a perfect man with no sin, nothing that would condemn him, no wage of death to pay. And yet he died. Why would a perfect man die? Why would a perfect man die that death on the cross? A perfect man would die that death on the cross if he's dying to pay for someone else's sin. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. God took your sin, took my sin, placed it there on Jesus Christ. And when he died your death and he died my death. And he paid the price for your sin and he paid the price for my sin because there was no sin in him that was worthy of death. But our sin killed him. And his death satisfied God's justice for our sin. And when he died and paid the penalty for our sin, and when you trust that message that he died and paid the penalty for our sin, then you are placed into him. And in verse 6 in the book of Ephesians, you are accepted in him. In verse 8, it's in him that you have redemption. In verse 3, you are blessed in him in heavenly places. It's all about being in Christ. You become a participant in that death, that burial, and that resurrection. You become a participant in the life that is Christ. Turn over to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians, chapter number 2. In Colossians 2, verse 9, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Notice, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You're complete in him. You are circumcised in him, baptized in him, risen in him. Everything is about being in Christ. So much so that your complete identity has changed. You are now identified completely and totally with Christ. Being justified by faith. Making that decision that, yes, Christ's death is the satisfaction for my sin and receiving that justification, that declaration of being righteous, makes you at peace because it places you into Christ. Your identification becomes with him. Let's turn back to the book of Romans and let's just go on past chapter 5 into Romans chapter 6. And look at how Paul in Romans chapter 6 describes our justification. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You see, your identification becomes so much with Christ that you are considered, your old man is crucified with him and a new man is risen with him. You are crucified, buried, and risen with Christ here in Romans chapter 6. His death becomes your death. His burial becomes your burial. And His resurrection becomes your resurrection. Your old man dies with Him on Calvary. Your old man is put in the grave with Him. Put away the body, the sins of the flesh. And a new man, a new life in Christ, is risen. Every week at the beginning of our broadcast, you see Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The second chapter of Galatians, Paul tells us that truth. I am crucified with Christ. All that I am, identified with His death and buried and put away. Nevertheless I live. But it's not me anymore. Because my old man was crucified with Him. But Christ liveth in me. There's a chorus that we sing sometimes here at Grace Alive. Christ liveth in me, Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. You see, that's the goal of your... That Roman road to salvation, the highest pinnacle of salvation is understanding Christ liveth in me. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Why? Because we have an identification by faith with Jesus Christ. And His life has become our life. And the Father can no more turn you away. The Father can no more be angry with you than He can with Christ. Notice Romans chapter 8. What Paul has to say in Romans chapter 8 and verse number... Romans chapter 8. Let's look down in verse number 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, offered Him as a propitiation, offered Him as that fully satisfying sacrifice, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Is the Father at peace with His Son, Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Then He's at peace with us. The Father is at peace with Christ, therefore He's at peace with us. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Can anyone lay anything to the charge of Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. Then they can lay nothing to your charge. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Can anyone condemn Christ? Absolutely not. Then no one can condemn you either. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ today, nothing can separate you from God's love. If you're outside of Christ, then you are outside of God's love and care. If you're outside, and salvation, if you're outside of Christ, then you're not in Him and connected to Him and connected, therefore, to God's love. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall separate us. You know what you need to do then? Get in Christ. If that's where God's love is, and if nothing can separate you from God's love if you're in Christ, then you need to get in Christ. How do you get in Christ? That simple message we talked about last week. Believe in your heart that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid the penalty for everything the matter with you, and receive the gift of eternal life. And God takes you out of Adam, out of your sin, out of your unrighteousness, places you into a righteous standing in Christ. And how shall he not with him freely then give you all things? And you have the hope. Back in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Back up in verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Paul started off the book of Romans back in Romans chapter 2, talking about the wrath of God coming against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Talked about the fact, chapter 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. When you get to chapter 5, being justified by faith, you have peace with God and the wrath is all gone. And you've been saved from that wrath of chapter 1 and chapter 2 because you're at peace with God. Be at peace with God today through Jesus Christ. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week. If you'd like to receive audio or video cassette tapes, CDs, or DVDs of this entire series, be sure to request them. Until next week, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.